what's grit?
Grit, as we define it, is guts, resilience, initiative, and tenacity. And the best thing about it, you don't have to be born with it. Anybody can develop it at any age. It's humanity's great equalizer.
And how do you develop grit?
You develop grit by working on the tenets of guts, resilience, initiative, and tenacity, following some very, very simple helpful tips that we have in the book we call Grit Builders. And it enables you to focus better, get through hurdles better, deconstruct problems in an easier kind of way, and not get distracted in this ADD society that we live in, where everything seems just, oh my goodness, we have to do things and get things done immediately, right away, yesterday.
I was looking through the title list of the book, and one thing that really struck me was that they were all sort of negatives, in that you have the talent myth, you have ditch the dream, you have lose the safety net. These are all things normally you would say to people, follow your dream, and or you know, think about your talent, and yet you sort of don't. Can you explain more about that?
Well, when you start realizing that some of the most amazing people that we know, and most successful people we know, were so completely ordinary growing up, you never could have predicted their success. Colin Powell is a C-minus student. Michael Jordan could not get into his high school varsity basketball team. Steven Spielberg applied to 3 schools and couldn't get into film school. This gives you an inkling of, it isn't about the it factor, all right? It isn't about incredible Mensa IQ or virtuoso talent. It's the grit factor. And that, as new research is emerging, is the most and biggest predictor of success. So this whole notion of having a dream, Estee Lauder once said, I never once dreamt of success, I just work for it. Ditch it, forget it, forget about visualizing success. It's all about what you're doing right now, today. Lose the safety net. You know what? We interviewed Nick Willenda, one of the foremost aerialists who walked across the Grand Canyon without a net. And he said to us, his great grandfather told him, life is on the high wire, everything else is just watching. It's good to be scared. It's good to get rid of the safety net. Because ultimately, if you're not sure if you should do something, don't ask a friend who wants you to be comfortable and safe. Ask your 90-year-old self. And your 90-year-old self is probably going to turn to you and say, you want to become this age having never tried anything? Life is on the high wire. Get out there.
Jeffrey has a title in his book, which is called Kill the Squirrel, because he says it's the dog in Up. Who is talking about himself and then suddenly sees a squirrel and goes, squirrel, and that your life is made up of a series of non sequiturs that come in, and so you have to go and kill the squirrels so that you can focus. It sounds to me as though that is a title that you could have put in the book.
What we need to do, we live in an ADD society, we are constantly being distracted by things. And it becomes harder and harder to focus. And there's this myth that we have that you've got to make it by the time you're 30, which is completely ridiculous. The fastest growing segment of this population are people in their hundreds. So I say, what's the rush? You're probably going to have a few careers. And it's okay if it takes you 20 or 30 or 40 years. Beverly Sills, the great opera singer, is famous for saying, there are no shortcuts to any place worth going, and I couldn't agree more. And grit helps you, you know, our book helps you stay on that path to where you want to be. And one of the biggest problems is that people are living in the distant future, some idealized dream of where they're going to be, instead of dealing with the problems that they're having every day. And you have to break those problems down to size. A great mathematician once said, the biggest problem facing humanity is that we try to solve problems that are insolvable. You know, we get caught like a deer in headlights. What we talk about in our book is how to take those problems and break them down to bite-sized little issues that you can do every day and celebrate those little victories. That makes you feel good. The endorphins are rising. And by the way, great advice from a Navy SEAL, make your bed every morning. Do it yourself. Tell your kids to do it. Start off the day with an accomplishment, and when you come back, no matter what's happening, you'll have that beautifully made bed to come back to.
Another title from Jeffrey's book as well is "Clean Your Own Bathroom."
I do. I clean the bathroom at work. When I read his book, I couldn't believe it. I am the one who goes in there every day whenever I use the restroom, picking up the paper towels because it's, you know. And leading is always by example, right? And I'm not doing it to show anybody up. It's just that you have to do this stuff. You know, it doesn't matter who you are or what your function is. So I'm the chairman. So what? So I'm cleaning the bathroom. Get over it. When we started our company, everybody had to take out a garbage bag every day. Didn't matter who you were. And that's the philosophy that you should always run a company by, you know. We also have had a great problem in this country with the self-esteem movement that basically told two generations of kids that they were entitled, that they were unique, that they were very special. And for many millennials, the sad truth is they don't have grit. They come into the workforce and they expect a trophy because they've been on time every day. You know what you should expect for being on time every day? It's called a salary. You know, so this idea of my job requires that I have to do just A-level work and I only want to do this and this isn't for me. We have ruined 20 years worth of good education with the self-esteem movement. And you know what I say to people? You're not that special. You're not that important. Get over yourself and get to work. And my money, I couldn't care less what your SAT scores are or what your IQ is. My money is on the gal or the guy that's going to be so resilient. You're going to get shot down, shot down, shot down, and you can come back, you can come back, and you can come back. And that's where the Colin Powells, the Steven Spielbergs, and the Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan said, I fail, and I fail, and I fail, and I fail, and that's why I succeed.
That's really very compelling stuff.
You know, everybody just sees the winners. Everybody looks like somebody's just, you know, a YouTube sensation away. But when you really look at the truly successful people, they have failed often. I love the story of James Dyson because James Dyson, you think of him as the inventor of the incredible bagless vacuum. But what you don't see is that he had 5,126 prototypes that totally sucked, or perhaps I should say didn't suck, and that was the problem. We need to see more of what people actually do to get to where they are rather than just watching The Biggest Loser and see somebody lose 40 pounds between commercial breaks without realizing it took a year and a half of diet and exercise. Edison was considered so addle-brained that they suggested perhaps he be homeschooled. And they said he was too stupid to learn anything. But by dint of his incredible personality, he might be able to find a job someplace. So there you go.
Wasn't it Edison who said about light, Alan?
Yeah. When he did the light bulb, when he invented the light bulb, apparently he said that, they said, well, I understand that you tried, you failed 10,000 times before you were finally able to make this light bulb.
Oh, yeah, I think
and
I did.
No, yeah, no, I didn't fail 10,000 times. 10,000 times I succeeded in demonstrating this was not the right path.
If it wasn't for those failures, he never would have achieved because he would have ended up with something that was pretty shoddy by comparison. Having grit doesn't mean my way or the highway. It's a matter of fact, if you look at very successful people, plan A's usually never worked out. Plan B's are always the most successful. Steven Spielberg, every great scene from his movie was a plan B, including what we know from Jaws, that the mechanical shark did not work. And so they were forced to come up with something else, and they came up, of course, with the bass trombones. Boom, 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 boom. Made the film an absolute smash success. So go for plan B. Don't worry about plan A not working out. Talk about a great plan B. And Raiders of the Lost Ark, Harrison Ford is supposed to brandish a sword and, you know, have a duel with the enemy, and it's supposed to go on for like 20 minutes. And there's 200 extras, and he walks onto the set, and he has a stomach flu. And he's sweating profusely, and he said, I can't do this scene. I can barely lift up the sword. I can't even move. And Spielberg says, we got hundreds of extras. We have to shoot this scene. He says, okay, plan B, plan B. All right, it's going to be one take. You barely have to move. You don't have to walk, and then you can go back to the hotel room. And if you do remember that scene, the enemy is brandishing the sword for about 5 minutes, and then Harrison Ford takes out a pistol and he shoots him. And he walks off the set. And what's so funny is if you, knowing that, and I've looked at that footage so many times, you can see just how sick Harrison Ford is. And then Spielberg said, and you know what? It was the best part of the movie. Best part of the movie, and it was totally a plan B. But I think one of the one of the most important things to remember is that grit, like a good Twinkie, has no expiration date. It goes on forever. And basically, you can use your grit and hone your grit till the day that you die. You know, Pablo Casals, arguably one of the finest cellists ever to have lived, was still practicing when he was in his 90s, practicing 3 or 4 hours a day. And a reporter said to him, "Mr. Casals, you're 93 years old. Why are you practicing 3 hours a day?" And he said, "Because I'm beginning to see some improvement." And this is what we need to all take away, is that the brain cells keep growing, the dendrites keep growing. It isn't that brain cells die. Neuroscience has proven that brain cells keep going. What makes them die is if you stop using your brain. And you find some of the most incredible advancements that are happening, not in Silicon Valley with people in their 20s, but people in their 50s, 60s, 70s. And there's a woman who works at IDEO designing equipment that can be used by elderly people. She's 94 years old. Still creating, still doing. Picasso's best paintings were done when he was in his 80s. We celebrate youth just for the sake of looking terrific, and we've created, you know, a generation of people who are so anxious if they don't make it by the time they're 30. And I think that this under 30 hype is completely overblown. The fact is, you can keep growing your grit forever. As a matter of fact, if you go on to grittogreat.com, we've developed with a leading psychologist a grit quiz. And my only hope is that the listeners do a little bit better than I did on it.